This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and hallelujah. Well, I am here on the campus of EWTN in studio with my husband, Jack Williams. We missed Monthly Marriage Monday last week, so we're doing it this week, even though this is not the first Monday of the month. But that's okay. We like to do this program, and we like to be together on the air, and we like to share that time with you. So we're eager to hear from you today. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. And you well know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Where we love to have holy conversation with you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, simply use the chat feature at both of those sites. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it up on the board and we will be able to address it today. Want to let you know that you can text us too. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment to tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening. And do know that data and message rates may apply. Well, good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm Dante. How are you?
Terrific. Thanks. I'm in the final 2 weeks of my Malvern preparation. I'm getting pumped up, getting myself prepared, getting ready.
Well, I'm glad because it's next week. Just so you know, it's not too...
I said I'm in the final two weeks.
Aha. So you've been preparing since last week.
Yes, that's right.
Well, good. Well, I hope
This is not... We don't play around with this thing.
This is serious stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, the Malvern retreat, and thank you for bringing it up. And I have been in preparation for it as well, and so has my entire staff. We've been preparing for it for many, many months now, and we're quite eager to be with all of you beautiful daughters of the Most High God as we gather together at Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for the annual Women of Grace Retreat. I've been calling it an extravaganza because there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on there. And I'll tell you, it's going to be tremendous this year. We're hoping that you can join us. If you haven't signed up, I want you to know you can still sign up. So get out to our website and make opportunity to do exactly that. The theme is Hope for the Journey. I am so excited about this theme. As a matter of fact, you know, I've been, you know, open in my prayer time to what the Lord wants to do in and through the talks that I'm going to be giving. And I know that all of our speakers have been in the same posture, the same spiritual posture as we approach this day. We've got a wonderful roster of speakers who are going to be there. I mentioned myself, obviously going to be speaking, but listen to this group. Honestly, it starts off with Bishop William Walter Scheid, whom I am so delighted to have coming to our Women of Grace annual retreat. This is his first time with us. He is our spiritual advisor. He's been to many of the other Women of Grace events.
Yeah, I was going to say, first time at this event.
Yes, but at this event. But he's been with us for many of the other events. And what a beautiful, beautiful spiritual paternity issues forth from him. Just a wonderful instrument of the Most High God. And may I say, an absolutely beautiful instrument of Our Lady. And he is going to be talking with us about Our Lady, Queen of Hope. I can't wait to hear it, because every time he speaks, it's just exhilarating. And it fills my heart with sentiments that I can return to time and time again in my own private prayer time. So he's going to be with us. Kitty Cleveland is going to be with us. Kitty is a friend. We've known Kitty for a long, long time. I probably predate knowledge of her, but as a couple, we've known her for a good while.
Mm-hmm. She sang at our wedding.
She did. She sang at our wedding.
And she sang at a reception, too.
Yes, she did. We could get into that, but maybe we won't.
That was not planned.
That was totally unplanned,
that
but
was
so much fun. It was an impromptu, musical extravaganza with Kitty Cleveland at our wedding. It was so much fun. She's got a beautiful gift, beautiful, beautiful gift. Her vocals are just absolutely tremendous. But in addition to that, she's beautiful in ever so many ways. She's a marvelous artist. I'll tell you, we have a lovely painting of hers in our home. Just a marvelous artist. But she has written a book, and it's a tremendous book. It's called From Prison to Paris. Paradise. It comes from the journal that her father kept when he was in prison. He was imprisoned erroneously, and he was eventually exonerated. But what a spiritual diary of what he learned in prison, and something that I know has been instrumental in her own spiritual life. And she's going to be sharing with us about that. I know that when I interviewed her on Women of Grace Television, and read the book, I was struck many times through the book and just had to pause and pray myself. It just a really, really beautiful thing. She's going to give us great spiritual insight about how to make it and how to apply that virtue of hope in what seems to be hopeless situations and sometimes unfair and unjust situations. I think we've all experienced those. Maybe not to that extent, obviously, but nonetheless, we've had that experience. And then Patricia Sandoval. So share with everybody about Patricia. You know quite a bit about Patricia.
Well, not really.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
On a cursory level, I'm familiar with her story, but she's come from some dark places and has picked herself up by her bootstraps, and with the grace of God has gotten herself to a position where she does a ton of pro-life work in both English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And she, it's interesting because she hosts our pro-life program on Spanish television with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, and it just looks natural for her as she's doing it. But I've been told, she didn't tell me this, but I've been told by people that, Spanish, even though she's Latina, Spanish was not her first language. English was her first language, and that she really has to concentrate. You would never know it to watch the show, but she really has to concentrate on that show because Spanish is not as easy for her as English is.
Yeah, she grew up here in the States. She's of Mexican descent. I think her parents are Mexican born, but she grew up in the States. Her story is riveting in ever so very many ways. And I don't want to reveal the whole story because she's going to share the story. But most importantly, what her story tells us is that no matter the situation or circumstance in your life, no matter how you've lived your life at any given point in time, not only is God's mercy there for you, but there's tremendous hope for the future. He is going to use all things and work them to the good. And she is an individual that I've had the privilege of interviewing on television a couple of different times, one with Father Ben Cameron, a father of mercy who does a lot of work with Rachel's Vineyard, and then singularly. But her story, though she is a pro-life speaker and known for that, her testimony incorporates that, but it is broader than that as well. So it's not a singular appeal. So we're eager for that. And then, of course, Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be with us. First time he's at this event, too. He is our academic advisor for the Benedicta Institute for Women. And I cannot wait. He's also doing our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that precedes this, beginning on July 24th, the retreat on the 25th through the 27th. Benedicta beginning on the 24th, running through the afternoon of the 25th. And then we've got our Young Women of Grace event that is on the 26th. And the girls are welcome to come to the evening event on the 25th and the Sunday event on the 26th and be present for the healing service on the 26th, but they've got their own day. So I'll tell you what, it's great. Your name is on one of those seats. Sign up so you can sit in it. We're going to be right back. Just go to womenofgrace.com.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-EWTN. 888-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, joined by my husband, Jack Williams, in studio here at EWTN on campus. We are doing our monthly Marriage Monday today, even though it's not the first Monday of the month, because we couldn't do it last week. And we're looking forward to hearing from you with any questions or comments you might have about marriage, any advice or counsel that you would like to give about marriage. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can do that today. That's 833-288-3986. It's toll free for you. Right here in North America, it doesn't get any better than that. We're also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply get on out there and use the chat feature. There's one at each of those sites. Put in your question or comment. Also tell us who you are and where you are. If you're not listening via social media, tell us how you're listening. We can also receive your text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Let us know who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. And we will receive it. Do know that data and message rates may apply. Yeah, both of them. Listen, we want to give congratulations. I love this. I love to congratulate all of our affiliates on their anniversary. And guess what? We have another great EWTN Radio partner celebrating 10 years with us, WPBV 98.3 FM, that serves Palm City and Stuart, Florida, is celebrating 10 years. Yay! Congratulations to Rob Shannon and Hans Krug and everyone at Catholic Voice of the Palm Beaches. I love that. From your friends here at EWTN, Catholic Voice of the Palm Beaches. That is a great tagline. Makes me giddy with joy. So we just want to congratulate you on your 10th anniversary. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. EWTN is the way that you can join us live there. We've got a number for you if you're outside of North America, too. Country code 1-205-271-2985. Now, before we get into the meat of the day here, I do want to remind you that that Women of Grace retreat is coming up July 25th through the 27th, right there at Malvern Retreat House in just outside of Philadelphia, PA, in Malvern, Pennsylvania. But our Benedicta begins the day before on the 24th, which is Thursday, running through the afternoon of the 25th, and then we have the Young Women of Grace event on the 26th. All of the speakers, their bios, the schedule, the talk titles, all of that's available for you at EWTN. It's available at womenofgrace.com, womenofgrace.com, and you can register right online there. That's womenofgrace.com. Well, I'll tell you what. How's it all going there, Jackaroo?
Fine.
Well, very, very
fine.
Good. Oh, Kitty is ready. She is ready. We've got Kitty with us for a few moments this morning, Jack, and I'm so excited about it. Let's go to Kitty Cleveland. Hey, Kitty, how are you?
Actually, Tom is still talking
to Kitty.
Now Kitty's ready.
Now she's ready. Hey, Kitty, how are you?
Hey, honey. I'm so glad. Okay.
You know, Kitty, I got to tell you something. It's been over 7 years. And I am just now getting over what you sang to me at our wedding reception. It wounded me so deeply.
Hit the road, Jack.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that was our song of sending. As we were leaving the reception, Kitty singing Hit the Road, Jack. I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was so funny. I enjoyed it so much.
I'm so sorry, Jack. I owe you one.
Maybe she'll croon a tune for you, Jack, at Malvern.
We'll
Who
see.
Knows what will
Maybe
happen.
So.
But Kitty, I'm getting so excited. First of all, I can't wait to see you, my sacred sister. It's going to be wonderful for us to get together and to have this time together there at Malvern. But I am so looking forward to it. And I was sharing with everybody as the program opened up there about the retreat and that you were going to be with us. And I was telling them about the book that you wrote that chronicles your father's spiritual journey, really, I think, through this false imprisonment that he experienced. And but you learned so much by way of your dad and what he left in this legacy of his journal.
It was a tremendous gift to me, Johnette. I mean, it took me 10 years to write the book because, honestly, I was delaying reading his letters from prison. He sent out a newsletter every month. And they were so full. They were such a treasure. And I so love you and appreciate that you read the book and that I was able to share his journey with you, because they were funny. They were heartbreaking. They were inspiring. But I was really putting off revisiting all of it. And so once, when Immaculée said that she would write the foreword if I, you know, got it finished, that was the last little kick I needed. And so it was painful, but very healing to go back and to revisit those memories. And I just felt like I got to spend all this time with my dad, you know, months with my dad, who passed away in 2006. And, you know, just what a treasure to have those letters and to be able to put them in a book form for people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I was sharing with our listeners that I was able to derive so much benefit myself spiritually from what he wrote, because we all go through difficult times. And the theme for our retreat is hope for the journey. And that is one of the things that I think is resplendent in the journal of your dad, and especially the way that you composed that whole gift, I think, that he left all of you and shared it with all of us, is that there is always hope. And if there's a virtue that we need today, it's hope. And I think that we're experiencing sort of a resurgence of hope, but I'm thinking about some of the situations and circumstances that we've faced in the recent past, you know, just a couple of weeks ago with those terrible floods in Kerrville and the numbers of children that were lost and the other lives that were lost as well, adult lives. And I'm thinking about the fact that the rains continue to pursue that area of the country. And, you know, I'm thinking about all of the difficulties and trials that we're experiencing within the culture of the day. But our Lord does not want us to leave hope. And you're going to be addressing that through the lens of your father, but I think also through, you know, the appropriation of his lessons to all of us, our everyday life. Share with us a little bit about how you're planning to wed all of that together.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this morning and first of all, I am so excited about being with y'all in Pennsylvania and to be there for the Benedicta Leadership Institute conference beforehand. I have so much to learn from y'all, and I just love being with you. And I want to invite everybody who's listening to come, men and women alike, because it's going to be beautiful and the whole weekend. But as far as my dad goes, this morning, you know, I lead this live rosary on YouTube and Instagram every morning, 5:45. Central Time.
Kitty's Morning Glories.
Kitty's Morning Glories. We love you, Johnette. And you too, Jack.
We love you right back.
And
you may not love me at 5:45 in the morning, I'll tell you that right now.
Right. During one of the meditations, I saw in the spirit Saint Maria Goretti and the man who killed her.
Oh my.
Both in glory. And so it ended up being a meditation on regret and on the hope that the Lord Jesus gives. And it was from this man, this killer's perspective. And who of us doesn't have regret, things that we wish we had done differently, actions we wish he had taken or not taken, and that so many of us can get stuck thinking there might be sin or shame that the Lord can't reach. And my dad had plenty of regrets, choices he wished, you know, things, little things, you know, just he had just signed one little piece of paper, none of it would have happened. I mean, just, and then, so we can get stuck in regret and shame, and the Lord wants to heal that. Mm-hmm. And that really is our hope. And in eternity with him, even St. Maria Goretti's killer, you know, she brought 14 lilies for each of the 14 stab wounds she received at his hands. And he was at her canonization, and I believe is now in heaven. And, you know, so there is always hope. The Lord can redeem anything and everything that we bring to him and that we entrust to his merciful love, right?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And it's a beautiful reality, you know, when we consider that God works all things to the good. And I was just this morning when I was praying my rosary, and I was praying it, you know, with some of the writings of St. Faustina. And there was one passage in her diary where the Lord's talking with her about these things, and he's saying that, you know, when we come to him with these areas of our heart where we have these regrets, we just basically surrender them to him, he can use these for a growth in our great sanctity. Also, the humility that we experience as a result of looking at these through the eyes of repentance, and we experience that humiliation that we could have behaved in that way, or we made that decision, or whatever the case may be, that he uses that. There's a deep humility that can grow there, and he says that sometimes we grow more holy as a result of that humility than we could have grown had we not committed that situation or circumstance, and, you know, not learned the lesson of humility. I'm not doing that particular quote justice, but that was the essence of it. I think that's what you're saying, is that, you know, your dad did not commit the crime that he was accused of, but he saw the whole of his life maybe through a different lens by way of that, that led him to a greater place of growth in the spiritual life and union with God.
Amen. And it was
whoops.
Well, there goes Kitty. Maybe we'll get Kitty back.
Maybe we'll get Kitty back and she can continue with that comment. But you know, it's an interesting thing because we often have those moments, Jack, where we look back and we say, I wish I wouldn't have done this. And the evil one wants to chain us to that moment. And that's what he does. He seeks to hold us to these past crimes of ours, you know, transgressions, things of the past. Because if we're stuck in that, we're never going to move forward in faith and confidence and hope in God.
You know, the Exultet, which is chanted by the deacon at the Easter Vigil Mass every year, comes to mind, where part of that says, O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam, that has brought for us such a great Redeemer.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, we see that in light of the church and all of salvation history, but do we necessarily see it in light of our own personal lives? In other words, can we say that about ourselves, you know? And so we do have Kitty back with us again. She's back on the air. So, Kitty.
Hit the road, Kitty. I feel vindicated.
Oh, boy, he's been waiting 7 years, Kitty,
exactly.
to sing that refrain to you. Oh, shoot. So anyway, go ahead, Kitty. You were telling us about, you know, your dad and I was saying that
First of all, the enemy just did not like what I was saying. It's bizarre what just happened to my phone. But
he doesn't like
truth. We persevere,
truth.
Right?
We persevere.
We persevere. And so my dad, it was when he surrendered, when we lost the appeal, and he realized he had another 7 years in prison for something he didn't do, and he had to release the anger for the people who did this to him, who knew he was innocent but were using him as a pawn. He had to forgive, to release them to the Lord's mercy, and to let it go, and to surrender, and to acknowledge his own everything. It was just a great, deep humility that the Lord brought him to receive the Lord's mercy. He had to extend the Lord's mercy. And when he surrendered, and in a sense, too, grieved all of it, then that extraordinary peace of the Lord Jesus descended upon him and wrapped him in this grace bubble in the midst of hell. And then it just didn't really touch him. The violence, the filth, the profanity, the noise, it didn't get into that deep place where Jesus was living in my dad. The whole Trinity living inside of him, and my dad was present to the whole Trinity and had peace, even in this extraordinarily awful place. And this is what the grace of God does. This is what surrender does, and that beautiful gift of humility. And honestly, it was spiritual boot camp for my dad, because we would have a miracle, a divine mercy miracle. He would be released just days before Divine Mercy Sunday, when Faustina was canonized in the great Jubilee year of 2000. But then 6 years later, he would die of prostate cancer. He would have died in prison had we not had our miracle. Wow. And so God was preparing him for an eternity of glory.
Wow.
But all that was not of God had to die, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the interesting thing is it's almost like boot camp, I think, is an apt phrase. I was thinking, too, it's sort of like being on a retreat for an extended period of time where you are shaken to the core. I'll tell you who comes into my mind, you know, as you're talking here, is St. Ignatius of Loyola when he was in the cave, you know, and he had that, you know, breakdown. And here I don't mean a nervous breakdown, but it was a breakdown of everything in him. It was a deep spiritual breakdown of everything that was in him that was not of God, and it was necessary. And so this time of being taken out of the world and flung into this miserable situation was kind of like that. And you're right. God was preparing him for something great. And what was he preparing him for? Was eternal life. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to your talk. And friends, you know, there's more to come from Kitty. You're going to hear it at Malvern. When you join us there at our Women of Grace annual retreat coming up July 25th through the 27th, Kitty will give us insight on how it is that her dad cooperated with that grace to be able to come to that point in his life where he said fiat, a total surrender to God's will, even in the most difficult of circumstances. I can't wait to hear it, Kitty. And I can't wait to just give you a great big hug.
Back at you, sister. Love you.
Love you right back.
And even you, Jack. Love you too.
Thanks.
God bless you, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, what a great opportunity it's going to be to hear what Kitty has to share. And that, you know, that's just a little taste. We're going to be featuring some of our other upcoming guests who are going to be with us speaking at the retreat through the course of this week. And I know it's going to whet your appetite. So don't wait. Get out there today and register. womenofgrace.com is the way that you can do that. And you know, Jack, you're holding a paper in your hands. Do you have something you want to share?
Well, I was just going to tell you that EWTN News, you know, a whole separate, you know, self-sustaining entity here at EWTN, keeps you informed and helps advance the gospel and teachings of the church. Get our trusted Catholic news right to your email inbox. You don't even have to look for it. Just visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe.
Yep, that's a great suggestion for everybody. And I love EWTN News and all that it does for us. So we invite you to take advantage of that opportunity, too. In the meantime, take the advantage of the opportunity to be with Jack and me on air today. We want to talk with you.
Wide open phone lines. Wide open phone lines.
Give them the number, Jack.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't delay. Call right away.
Don't be shy.
Give it a try.
There you go. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. We are here for you in studio. Lights, camera, action. We are up for you in studio here on the campus of EWTN. I am with my husband, Jack Williams. We are doing a monthly Marriage Monday. And it's not the first Monday of the month, but we didn't get to it last week. We're here doing it today. So we invite you to give us a call. We'll talk about marriage. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. As you know, we love having that holy conversation with you. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll be sure to get it retrieved and up on the board. We'll discuss it. We'll also take your text messages. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment. Do know that data rates and message rates may apply. Tell us who you are and where you are and how you're listening. Thanks so much. All righty, Jack, 833-288-3986. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And we've got Kathy with us, and she is with us from Chicago today. Tom Price, by the way, is call screening today. And we have Vanessa Sanchez working all of the controls here in studio. And who is it?
Ace McKay.
Ace McKay is taking the calls today. Oh, my gosh.
No, Ace McKay is not taking
calls. Oh, no. He's taking your stuff off of the
social media
mm-hmm. today. Very good. Okay, so Kathy's with us. She is with us from Chicago. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Just dandy. Thanks for calling. So you got a question for us?
Oh, yes. I'm really glad that you answered my... I called before and they were busy.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching EWTN and I'm getting very close to God and Jesus and everything. And I was watching when they say he died on the cross and the prayer says he ascended into hell and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Why did he go to hell? What did he do there? Like, what was the reason for him to go there?
Okay, so you're referring to that part of the Apostles' Creed that Jesus descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, as we say in the creed at Mass. So, Jack, do you want to answer the question for Kathy? Did you like that? I punted right to you, darling.
All right. So, first of all, couple things, as Father Mitch would say, couple things. So when they refer to hell here in the scriptures, they're not talking about the hell of the damned. All right, they're talking about Sheol, and there are all sorts of other Semitic language words that go into this, but they're essentially talking about the place where all the righteous people who had died up to that point were waiting for heaven to be opened. And heaven wasn't opened until Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. That's when heaven was opened. So he first went to preach the good news and the gospel, and really, I think, just to be a living witness to the promises of God, to all those patriarchs and matriarchs that had been waiting patiently for heaven to be opened. And so until it was opened, they couldn't enter in. So that's what they're talking about when he went to preach to them.
Right, yeah. So that translation of the word hell leads us to believe it's the place of the damned, as Jack said, but that's not at all what the intention is. So there is that, Kathy. And you know, there's a beautiful poem that I read some years ago. I'm going to have to find it. I love religious poetry, and there's this beautiful poem written by a religious sister, and she... you know, and she's talking about this moment where our Lord goes to Sheol, and he makes himself present, and they have this opportunity really to see him as the Messiah, and basically to say yes, to give fiat to him, and then it goes on and it talks about there was one old man. It ends with saying and one old man approached him and said, "I've been waiting for you, son." And it's Saint Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, the first time I read that poem, it just pierced my heart. I cried. It was so beautiful. So you can understand Kathy a little differently now. Does that help you?
Yeah, I didn't understand at all. It was like, why would he go there? I mean, you know, like, I just didn't understand. You know, I didn't think he went there himself. I didn't think he got put into there.
No.
But I thought he went there for a reason, to tell them something, or to help them, maybe,
yes,
or something. So, in other words, everybody, there was never, when people died, everybody went to hell, and then...
No, we're talking about two different places, Kathy. We're not talking about the hell of the damned,
like
where
we think of,
where we wouldn't want anyone to wind up for all eternity. We're talking about a place where people went before heaven was open.
Like a holding room, like a waiting room.
That's right. And these are the people that are going to be worthy of heaven.
Right, that's because, where he went.
Because there was a hell of the damned, and he certainly didn't go there, because if one finds oneself in the hell of the damned, there's nothing that's going to be of any benefit to them at
that's
that
right.
point. So you're finished. So this is a separate place where the just souls went when they died prior to Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. And I don't know quite what to make of getting a phone call about hell on Monthly Marriage Monday. I'm choosing to not read too much into that. God bless you, Kathy. Thanks so much for the phone call today.
Thanks, Kathy. I hope that helps you out. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live. It is a Monthly Marriage Monday with my husband, Jack Williams, here in studio. We'll take your questions about anything, and we just took Kathy's question, but we do like to talk about marriage on this day. You know, go ahead.
I've got an invitation. I was going to ask Kitty this, but we ran out of time with her. But, you know, Kitty is a perfect example of this because of the gifts and talents that God has entrusted to her, it creates opportunities for her to present at various events like this. But I show up at a lot of events, and Kitty is just there as a participant.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And you know, working out her own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
As she goes along. And she's a married lady, and I think she could probably testify that while we are a unit, so to speak, as a married couple, we are also individuals.
That's right.
And any of you ladies who maybe are not as satisfied spiritually as you would like to be in your marriage, we see a common thread in many, many, many healed marriages and conversion experience, and it almost never comes from one party or the other preaching about how the other person ought to be. It comes from the other person seeing the witness that's being given by that person. And so our own individual spiritual development is as important as anything in keeping a healthy marriage chugging along the way that it ought to be. And this is a great opportunity, regardless of where you're at from a spiritual standpoint. If you're a married lady, this retreat at Malvern for yourself and to work on your own spiritual development will just now, I promise you, it will help your marriage on some level.
Well, there's no question about that. And we've heard that through the many years. I mean, we've had many husbands who have actually sent their wives to a Women of Grace retreat because the wife has wanted to go. But they send them because the women have taken the foundational study and they've seen the change in their wives' lives. And that has so renewed their marriage that the gentlemen are very happy about it. It's for women married or single. But, you know, and there's a direct relationship between joy and happiness in life and growth in the Lord. And, you know, you give Kitty as an example. You know, she mentioned that she's coming to our seminar, the Benedicta Institute. She's not speaking at that. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is presenting. I attend it for my own spiritual benefit every year to listen to these other speakers because we're all growing. None of us have achieved perfection yet or else the Lord would have taken us by now, right? We're all in the process.
I don't like the way you looked at me when you said that.
Well, you know, it's just a fact of the matter. We just have to realize truth sometimes, and sometimes, well, we have to break the truth to each other, honey. So I don't know what to say. Anyway, all that being said, you know, our God cannot be outdone in generosity. We give him a wee bit. We give him a wee bit, and he gives us back so much. And, you know, I'm out on the circuit. I speak at a lot of different events. And the fact of the matter is, I like to sit in on the talks that other people are giving because I'm growing as I am there. I learn so much. And you know, not just learning, but there's something that happens when truth is being spoken, even if the topic is not something that's central to you at that moment in your growth and development. There is something about the communication of truth that just kind of fortifies and strengthens everything else that the Lord is doing. So, you know, don't deprive yourself of opportunities, you know. And as a matter of fact, you know, we strive to help people get there if they have a difficulty in getting there because of finances and things of that nature. We want to, our goal, our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time. And we just want you to come. 833-288-EWTN, though, is the number to use to join us right here today on Women of Grace Live. There is, you want to say something?
One other thing.
Okay.
One of the best things about Monday
Yes.
Whether it's Monthly Marriage Monday, any other garden variety, one of the best, because some people struggle with Monday.
Really?
Yeah, the weekend's over and you got to go back to work and, you know.
Stuff.
Some people don't like Mondays. But you know what? You know the best thing about Monday?
What is it?
Is that you're one day away from Tuesday. And every Tuesday night,
Yes.
Mother Angelica is on the network again.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I know. That's true.
Mother Angelica Live Classics airs every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio and Television. And those programs, if you just closed your eyes and listened, you would think they were recorded yesterday.
Yeah.
The truth is timeless.
It is. And Mother Angelica's style of presenting the truth is something that is also timeless and, may I say, priceless.
Absolutely.
So do listen in tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Time
on EWTN Radio and Television.
So, you know, now I do want to get to a couple of questions that came into me.
You wanted to utilize my dudeness.
Your dudeness. I did. Jack is a dude. He's a real dude. He's a big old dude. I love him. Don't get me. I'm a little giddy right now. Anyway, I'm still thinking about the wedding and Kitty singing and stuff. So anyway, all of that, I'm reminiscing in my mind, even as I'm speaking. But I had a couple of calls that came in to me on radio last week, and I think it was Friday of the week before. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, these would be really good questions to ask you. I answered them, but I think they would be good questions for you to approach. So the first one came from Teresa, and Kitty was talking about regret and how the evil one wants to hold us in regret because then we can't move forward. And Teresa called in, and basically, in summary, she led a life that she wasn't happy with. She had led a life where she was sexually intimate with men, and she made a change in her lifestyle. And she had gone to confession. She repented of her sin. She was living a life of chastity and celibacy. She was not married. And then she started to date a man. And unfortunately, she fell victim to the same behavior. And she, figuring that things, I guess she anticipated that the things were going in a direction that they never eventually went in. And he broke off the relationship. And so there she is, and she's filled with deep regret and deep remorse. And she said she just can't. She's been to confession. She's said it straight with the Lord, but she just can't seem to forgive herself. And I thought, well, you know, maybe you had some insights for somebody that's been in that situation.
Well, first of all, each one of these situations is unique and different because they involve unique and different people.
That's right.
But we are all susceptible to it. And, you know, it's not often a measure of whether or not you have fallen, because we have all fallen. Sacred Scripture tells us this. Outside of our Blessed Mother, everyone has fallen short of, you know,
the glory of God.
That's right. And so you've got to kind of get a handle on that. And the other thing that you have to, I think, realize is that we place far too much emphasis oftentimes on emotions. Mother Angelica spoke of this all the time. I can hear her right now ringing in my ears, "Oh, you can't go by your feelings." She said that over and over and over again. And so if our Lord has extended his mercy to you, which he has all of us, you know, who are we to tell him his business?
Right.
You know, and it's not a feeling. That's the big thing, is it's not a feeling. There are certain things that you have to make a conscious decision. And two things come to mind for me that I want you to share, that you may or may not have shared when you were talking about this before. One of them is the advice that you were given in confession about living in the present moment.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one just left my feeble little mind.
It'll come back. That
It'll
birdie will land.
If it comes back, then I'll remind you of it after you talk about that instance.
Yeah. And I did mention that because I think that this was a life lesson, and it's been a life lesson that I've been able to apply so often, and it helps me in those moments of remorse for my past life. And that is that, you know, the evil one, God is in the present moment. That's God inhabits the present moment. God is not in the past. When the past was the present, he was there. But the past is gone. He's in the present moment. God is not in the future because the future hasn't happened yet. He is in the present moment. If God is in the present moment, then it means that God and his blessings and his, you know, his benefactory towards us is in the present moment. And so his grace for us is in the present moment. Now, the evil one does not want us in the present moment because he does not want for us to receive what God has in mind for us to receive. So he does two things. He has these minions, these demons, and he sends out some demons of the past. And those demons of the past, as this priest told me, are demons that we know. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, and if only. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, if only. Now, I'm thinking that whole lot of you out there right now are saying, oh my gosh, I know all of those demons, right? So I wish I would have done this. I should have done that. I could have done that. Why didn't I do that? If only I would have done that. We torment ourselves. Well, actually, the evil spirit is inciting this into our head, and the thoughts roam. Why didn't I do that? I should have done that. I could have done that. And how did I fall victim to this? Because I was trying to be so good. And we just go on and on and on and on. And pretty soon we're chained to the past. That past event is owning us instead of us owning that past event and putting it where it should be, which is in the past. And so we're bringing life to that again, right? And when we do that, we are not available to the present moment where God's grace is. But then the evil one will also tempt us to the future. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this occurs? What if that occurs? What if God really hasn't forgiven me? What if I fall again? What if all of these things? And then we torment ourselves about things that haven't happened yet. And we're chained to future events that may never occur. And then we are not available for the grace in the present moment. So what do we do about a situation like this? Well, we dig into the grace that's available for us. God's given us his mercy. His mercy endures forever, it says in sacred scripture. So it doesn't expire, right? The mercy is there. We've repented of the sin. The mercy for that sin doesn't have an expiration date. It exists right now. And so we go back to that font of mercy in the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we take it out again and we apply it to ourselves. And I think, as I said to Teresa, we praise the Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've won for me on Calvary's Hill, that it's available to me. I thank you and praise you that mercy is there. I thank you for the gift of the sacrament by which I am made recipient of that mercy. I thank you, Lord, that mercy is active within me. I live in this mercy, Lord. And when we're praising the Lord like that, the evil one flees. The evil one flees. It says that in sacred scripture that he flees. He cannot stand up underneath that. So that is really, I think, probably the sum of it.
The birdie landed.
The birdie landed. I'm so glad. Okay, tell me about that birdie.
So, and then the other part of this is that I want to tell Teresa is that you know, all of that we've just said is true for sure. And sometimes we are victimized against our own best wishes. But sometimes we have to make a decision to put our big boy or big girl pants on and make the decision that we're going to believe what God says is true.
Amen.
And you had a situation at a conference once where a lady, it's not entirely like this, but I think it tends in the same direction, where you had a woman who, unbeknownst to you, had sort of created this victim status for herself.
Oh, yes.
And I think that story might be helpful to Teresa as well.
Was that the woman that was grieving her husband?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes we just have to make a decision to step
right,
out of that.
Right, right. Well, I had shared with, Teresa that, you know, we get into a morbid guilt. This woman got into a morbid grief, and she had been, I was there, it was a bereavement, retreat, and I had lost my son and lost my husband, my late husband. And I was talking about that, sharing that with the women. And this woman is near howling, you know, howling, creating this scene. And everybody at her table is, you know, trying to console her. So at the break, I went over to her and I said, share with me what is going on here. And she's, you know, near wailing and telling me about the death of her husband and this thing and that thing. And I said, well, honey, when did this happen? I'm thinking this must have been very, very recent, that this is the early stage of grief here. And somebody's brought her. I said, when did this happen? She said, 15 years ago. Well, I got angry, not at her. I got angry at the spirit that was tormenting her and frustrated with her for letting that spirit torment her. This was a morbid grief. And so, you know, we prayed and we kind of took authority over that, and she had to put her big girl pants on and allow herself to
sometimes
receive the healing
grace
of God.
Sometimes we let things just be part of our life, and sometimes we just got to cut them loose.
Amen. Well, guess what? This music is cutting us loose. We've come to the end of the program. We were just warming up, but it was a wonderful program. So happy to be with all of you today. Jack, I'm so happy you were in studio and I was
so happy to be in studio.
I'm so glad. And we're inviting you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Sign up for the retreat. Please come. Please come. We want to see you there. And bring your daughters for the Young Women of Grace event on Saturday. She can join you Friday night. She can join you Saturday night for the healing service. She can join you Sunday for the rest of the women's retreat. Come, come, come. We'll see you there. God bless you. Bye-bye.